This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another beautiful episode of the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast with myself, Cormac, and my beautiful co-host, Taylor. Taylor, how are we?
I'm really drunk, man. How are you?
It's been a Sunday fun day, to say the least. The sun has been out in London, and we've absolutely made the most of it. We've been at the local pub with a bit of sun in it, and we've had a few beers, still going now. And I mean, I don't think there's a more authentic time to talk about football than there is after a few beers.
Couldn't agree more, Cormac. It's been a beautiful day in West London. The sun has been shining, the vibe's been high, and we have been loving every single minute of it. We thought we were at the pub, we were like, actually, now is the perfect time to hit up the Red and White Chalkboard Podcast, give the people what they want.
Absolutely.
And here we are.
Here we are. Today's episode, a little bit of an interesting one. So obviously we've had the FA Cup, which we'll come back to shortly. But what we thought we'd do today is we're going to do the team of the season so far, not including the traditional big six.
We're going to go rogue.
We're going to be a little bit more interesting than picking your Liverpools, your Cities, your Arsenals, your Spurs, if you can still count them as your big six, and your Chelseas. And I'm forgetting one. Who have I not mentioned?
It doesn't matter.
They all suck. So we're going to do our team of the season so far. We've both gone for a 4-3-3, but we'll come back to that. But to start things, I think we'll address first the FA Cup results that have happened this weekend. Four games, quarterfinals, starting off yesterday with the... Well, should we touch on the Forest game first? Because yeah, that was the least interesting one, to be completely honest.
I think it's really good to see Forest go through.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if we mentioned it last time. Actually, no, we definitely did. You said Brighton were going to get through.
I did say Brighton.
I said Forest. I did say 2-1, and it was 0-0 with extra time. But it's just nice to see Forest.
Really. Yeah, we're both happy to see Forest go through. Absolutely. I think even if we'd have seen Brighton go through, we're both happy to see either or go through. Brilliant. It's going to be great for the FA. Who have they got in the semis?
I just want to make sure I get this right, but I believe they're facing City.
Oh, it is. It is Forest City, isn't it?
Forest v City, Palace v Villa. Yeah, that's it.
Yep. So we've got a Forest versus City semi-final. I think that's probably the best outcome.
Because I think so.
For some reason, in my mind, I feel like just based on what the season has shown us so far, Forest probably have the best likelihood of actually beating the City team.
Well, I mean, they're third in the league against fourth in the league, so I think it's the most interesting.
They're on one. It's crazy. They're on one, and it's showing, and they're in a great spot. So, I mean, I'm not going to really speak too much about it because it's going to be ages now, a good few weeks before we actually have to discuss about it again, but I'm happy to see Forest go through. I really desperately hope. We desperately wanted Bournemouth to beat City. And when they went 1-0 up, we were like, yes, come on, this is brilliant. And then obviously City managed to find a way around it. So I think we're quite happy to see a Forest City semi-final because...
I think so.
I think they could probably do it on the current form based on what we've
Absolutely. Seen. Yeah, I don't see a reason why Forest can't do them. I mean, I think the FA Cup, especially in recent years... especially before we were born, it was a much more bigger deal. Mm-hmm. And recent years, it's kind of been diluted because City are winning in it.
I heard a great stat earlier today,
love a great stat.
I'm not gonna replicate it perfectly, but it was the first time only one of the traditional big six had been in a FA Cup since the early
FA Cup semi-final.
FA Cup semi-final since early 2010s, early, if not even beforehand.
Beautiful.
Because they were including Manchester City and they obviously weren't massive until 2010. So it's the opportunity of a lifetime for these clubs. One of a very niche pick of clubs is going to find themselves in a final of the FA Cup, which is something we haven't really seen in the past few, like the past few seasons, very much been Manchester United, Manchester City. It's like been the past two finals. So
boring.
All of a sudden, we're going to be able to see something different. And as we saw with Newcastle, it could be anything. You know, anyone would have sat here and thought Liverpool were easily going to walk over Newcastle. Look what happened. Newcastle found the extra strength and went further than Liverpool ever could and demolished them, mm-hmm. essentially, in that Carabao. So who's to say what could possibly happen when we get to the final of the FA Cup? So I really hope someone interesting wins this FA Cup. I think this
anyone
season...
Anyone but City, isn't it?
Yeah, anyone but City. I think this season is the season for the other clubs. The clubs who have been planning so well, who have had that structure in place and have had that facility to maybe take advantage of the weaker teams that we've seen this season, the ones which you would typically consider that top bracket team who have fallen off or haven't been able to keep pace. And as a result, these other teams who have been planning meticulously, recruiting well, have been able to take advantage. And finally, we're going to see, hopefully, an interesting FA Cup semi-final and final. So we're going to have to wait and see. But let's talk about some of the other results. I think it's... let's start with Palace. Cormann, what do you think about the Palace performance yesterday?
I mean, they were just better than Fulham. I think the first 20 minutes or so, Fulham were probably on top. But outside of that, Palace were just... They just had that quality. The absolute hero, that is Eddie Nketiah, who I think we have mentioned in probably
every single podcast.
More or less every podcast. He got a goal, which I'm over the moon about. I'm so happy for. Eze scored as well, who we slagged off. We didn't slag off. We didn't include him. I didn't mention as well. We didn't include him in our England squad. And a friend of the podcast, Lewis, gave me a real hard time about not including Eze in the squad. But he doesn't really know what he's on about, so it's all right. But yeah, just 3-0, fairly comfortable in the end.
I will shout out that Eze goal. Fantastic goal.
Really
that,
smart,
to
really
me,
goal.
Is a wonderful FA Cup goal. Mm. Just like the pure skill to cut in, finish, far right side.
When he's on it, he is so good.
It was electric goal.
And
it's,
I think
love
going
that,
really
love
quickly
that.
Back to kind of the England squad in the sense of when he's on it, he probably could get... Looking back at the squad as well, some of the people that we missed out is really harsh and it's really difficult. But, you know, we gave our opinions.
You know,
we can't go back on it.
We gave our opinions, but actually I back up my opinion to double down in that he is the perfect player that when we have 50 minutes to play, like I said originally, there's no position that he can play. He will come on to do something somewhere on the pitch. Don't define him by the position. Let him roam, let him grab the ball wherever he is and see what he can create. And I think, obviously, for Palace, he has a different role in that system. He's a full-blown starter. He's one of their major players in the 11. So he came up, obviously, he was playing from the beginning, but he scored a fantastic, fantastic goal.
Yeah, really nice
top-notch goal. And that set them to then carry on further and score the further two goals. And, you know, We said this earlier. We love this Palace team.
We do love this Palace team.
Love this Palace
Such
team.
A soft spot for this we Palace do. Team. Mateta was there with his gear he on was, as well. Didn't get a goal. But
I was listening earlier to how fantastic it is that he had that whole video about him coming back with that like Rocky Balboa music and everything. And actually, he'd only missed one game.
I know.
And actually, it was just extraordinary. It just adds to the whole aura farming that he's doing at the minute. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I'm absolutely locked in with it. the aura farming.
We're completely sold on
it. Absolutely chokeholded by the aura farming he's currently conducting himself by. And
I think
Palace are in a great spot right now. And, you know, Graham, imagine. Palace in an FA Cup final.
I really hope they make it. Because I've said it before and I'll say it again. It's such a soft spot for this Palace team. And I don't really know why.
We like it.
We do. They've got a lot of just kind of solid players.
Yep.
And they seem to be doing it. And you know what? Why not?
I'm sure a few are going to feature in our team of the season.
Foreshadowing.
A little bit of foreshadowing.
Yeah,
I'm sure they will. Okay, so let's touch on the... Villa game against Preston this afternoon.
Yep.
So it was 3-0 Villa.
Yep.
Marcus Rashford, two goals.
Yeah, much to your dismay, I think.
Much to my dismay, absolutely. Yeah. No, I say that, but actually, Marcus Rashford scoring two goals is fantastic for both him and Manchester United. Very important to touch on.
In that order.
Yeah, but also I want to touch on the fact that he looked not so excited about scoring, which, granted, is probably because he's playing against Preston.
Well, that's it. I'd say I don't want to give... Apologies if you can hear sirens in the background, by the way. We live in the big city, so it's a bit scary. But I think United fans will say that in the sense of, oh, he didn't celebrate too much. But it's hard to give him a hard time on that because he's scoring a quarterfinal against Preston. If he over-celebrates, everyone will be like, oh, look at him now, he hates United. The under-celebrates, United fans are going to be like, oh, look at him, he hates...
It's a lose-lose.
It is a lose-lose.
But and he's I'm from the situation. Yeah, I'm from that perspective, where I'm thinking now, maybe he's realising that being somewhere else and not scoring for Manchester United is not as fun as... It's the first goal he's scored since December the 1st. So maybe
It has been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. And he didn't look like someone who was extremely overjoyed at scoring his first goal since December the 1st. Yeah. He looked almost subdued about the matter.
I mean, he scored a lot of goals, though, hasn't he, over his career?
So he has scored a lot of goals, but also he scored a lot of important goals for Manchester United. True. To then be scoring in a quarterfinal for Villa against Preston, where does that sit in his ranking of most important goals of all time? Probably not particularly too high. No. But also, he didn't look like someone who was extremely impressed with the situation. But I'm not going to be too much of a Debbie Downer. I'm going to say congrats to him. Congrats to Villa. Obviously, Morgan Rodgers scoring the third goal. They got through.
Jacob Ramsey.
Oh, was it Jacob Ramsey? Jacob Ramsey scoring the third goal. And congrats to them getting through to the next round.
Yep.
You would imagine who they got next round. They got Palace. That's going to be a really interesting game.
Yeah, I mean, Villa winning a trophy as well, winning FA Cup would be nice, I think.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Because they are a massive, massive club.
They're a heritage club, aren't they?
It makes a lot of sense.
I know you all hate us now post Konza game. But...
Yeah, apologies. If we've got any retaining Villa fans, I'd be quite impressed. Konza had a good game, by the way. And I'm not afraid to say it.
We could all do it in the Championship.
We could all do it against Preston.
But yeah, it's good to see them get through to the next round. Would have been better to see Preston get through.
It would have been a lot nicer.
But we didn't. So congrats to Villa. And then I say we touch on the final game, which is a bit of a shame, actually, isn't
City,
it?
Bournemouth City, should I say. Yeah, I mean, fine. Bournemouth did go 1-0 up.
We got excited.
We did get very excited. Bournemouth went 1-0 up. Kepa saved a penalty. My God, I mean, that's what he's kind of, I guess, renowned for.
It's got to be known for something.
In a weird way, but he saved a penalty. And then second half, from what we saw, just City came out and absolutely dominated.
Let it be known on tape that I desperately don't like Kepa as a goalkeeper.
Yeah, Taylor is the most anti-Kepa keeper of all, most anti-Kepa man of all time, basically.
Yeah, I wouldn't give Kepa a baby to hold, let alone be a, goalkeeper for a top Premier League team. So the fact that Bournemouth are very interested in the fact of bringing him back for next season and paying a permanent fee to Chelsea, I just think surely the network that Bournemouth have and the players that they brought in, they could definitely identify a goalkeeper better than Kepa. Surely to God.
Well, I mean, I don't know how much they're going to want for him as well. I mean, they probably can't be a lot, though, can it? So I'm really surprised.
But they paid so much for him originally. I know. So there's going to be a
70 million they paid for him?
Yeah, it was.
Ridiculous. But yeah, again, a shame Bournemouth didn't get it. And I really hope City fuck it up in the semi-final. Really hope they do. Because them winning would be boring.
No one wants City to win. Yeah. Let's just hope anyone else. At this point, I'm a Man U fan and you're an Arsenal fan. So
we are haters
unanimously
anyway,
agree that anyone but City winning is brilliant for the FA Cup, brilliant for the league, brilliant for the idea of football. So
absolutely.
Okay, so now's a great chance for us to talk about Berta and Arsenal. The new sporting director for Arsenal has been appointed recently in this past week. Berta, previously of Atletico Madrid, he has now been appointed the official sporting director of Arsenal. Cormac, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it's a real shame that Edu left in the first place. Him and Arteta clearly had a very special relationship, and together they had worked to get us from that mid-table drag up until title challenging. But he obviously got offered a ton of money to go to Forest and the Forest scheme that they have going on up there. But yeah, so this Berta guy, again, I don't know too much about him. From what I've read, obviously he was at Atletico Madrid. He was key in getting the Griezmann in for Atletico, getting in Rodri for Atletico, getting an Oblak for Atletico, which were three massive successes, obviously, because they sold them on for however much money. And all three of those signings were for less than, were for £15 million and less. He obviously had some slightly less successful signings, such as João Félix, which, you know, was £100 million, didn't really work out. And off the top of my head, I can't name it anymore now that I had. Can you name any more?
Well, I wouldn't really name the less successful chances that Bertha's had, but what I think is actually really interesting with Edu, you obviously go back and touch that he had such a fantastic relationship with Arteta.
Absolutely.
I think probably what's more interesting with the Edu situation is the fact that he actually wanted more of an international role.
Yeah.
And Arsenal couldn't provide that for him, and he's obviously seen that elsewhere. That's pushed Arsenal into a situation which they probably didn't expect to find themselves in. And it was quite interesting with this sporting director chase at Arsenal with them, because they have someone very capable in-house. They had, I think his name is Jason Aito.
Yeah.
And he had been stand-in since Edu had left. And he had overseen the January transfer window. And I think most Arsenal fans were quite unimpressed with what the January transfer window had for them.
It's a bit underwhelming, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
And the other thing which I find quite interesting about this whole sporting director chase that Arsenal have had is that Mikel Arteta actually interviews the sporting director,
mm-hmm.
which actually you wouldn't necessarily find that very typical at any other clubs. Most of the case is that the overarching board will appoint a sporting director to work on behalf of the club, different to the manager. Whereas in this case, actually, Mikel Arteta was interviewing with the board for their sporting director.
Yep.
And Aitu went to the final two, but they also externally recruited for this. And actually, one of the few that made it to the final few that could have done it was the current Real Sociedad.
Yep.
Naturally, because he probably lives two streets away from
Yeah, because Arteta and him grew up together.
And it's been quite an interesting story that's actually formed out of this, because they wanted someone who had the chemistry with Arteta, because in most cases at a club, a sporting director will almost act above the manager. Whereas what Arsenal have developed, it's very much singular in that Mikel Arteta is the focal point of that because of what he's achieved. Because of the squad that he's created and the culture he's created. So he's been allowed almost to be part of that process. And they thought it was very important that they brought someone in who was able to replicate a similar relationship to what Eddie would create with Arteta, a synergy. And they eventually landed on two names. It was either Berta or Aitu. And I think the Berta signing is a lot more palatable for Arsenal fans than it is had they hired internally, because it gives the sense of the new dawn. I was reading earlier that they have this 5-stage plan with Arteta, and they're on the 5th stage, which is winning trophies.
Yeah,
and they believe that Berta, based on his experience with Atletico, he can deliver the next step with Arteta in tandem, rather than working as, you know, Arteta blow him and Berta above in tangent with that synergy, and can deliver the next level of signing that will allow them to then really get that trophy. You know, we're not talking an FA Cup here, are we?
As an Arsenal fan, you want a Premier League or you want a Champions League, really, don't you?
And they're thinking that Berta can deliver that next step for them based on the signings that he might. And I completely agree. Oblak, Griezmann, Rodri, fantastic signings who've gone on to either be fantastic servants for Atletico Madrid. If you look at, for example, Jimenez, a centre-back, or if you look Rodrigo de Paul, for example, who's come in and just has understood the criteria of what they're trying to deliver at Atletico.
It's been any worse there.
Atletico.
No, you're right. And I think, like you said, he's kind of known in the, I guess, sporting director world as being a lot more shrewd.
Yes.
And kind of finding these guys that are, you know, maybe slightly more lesser known, but coming on to do great things. And it is more about that long-term project almost, and more about the investment of the low amount of money. which I think, I mean, it makes a lot of sense with Arsenal and kind of their ethos, especially, I mean, you look kind of, even in the last 20 years, even in the Wenger years, he would sign these 20-year-olds from France and they'd go on to be whoever, all these kind of random...
But are you guys at that point now? I think you guys are like two or three transfers away of signing someone who is 24, 25, not going away and finding that star for the future. Like what Chelsea are doing, for example. I think you guys are that two or three, like maybe one or two, maybe signings away. For example, if you sign an Isak and you sign a midfielder who is so established, but that outlay is incredible. It's whether you can really pinpoint that sweet spot.
Thing is, I think it's so difficult now to be one or two world-class signings away simply because of how much it costs. Like if you want, for example, I mean, sorry, Newcastle fans, don't give us shit in the comments or do, it's fun. But 150 million for Isak, who is a...
It won't be
don't
that
get
much.
Me wrong.
Yeah,
110 million. He is a world-class striker, but he has only had one good season in the league. And it's so much money to drop on these massive, massive, you know, massive players. You've got to be clever, you've got to be shrewd, and you've got to have the kind of tactical signings, I think.
Yeah, I think the reason that he was hired over the internal hiring of Aouto, for example, is the fact that he has those external connections with the wider European leagues.
Sure.
I think one thing he definitely has to work on is his English. So he's Italian, so he's fluent in Spanish and he's fluent in Italian. But his English apparently needs quite a lot of working on. And apparently Arsenal have the back staff to be able to cope with the fact that you have brought in a world-class operator, but he doesn't quite have the language to back him up yet in the internal league of the Premier League. But in terms of external, in terms of Europe and the wider leagues, he could definitely provide you a pinpoint to bring in that wider talent, that talent which will maybe elevate you without necessarily spending that absolute enormous sum of money. So it'll be really interesting to see what he chooses to do. What I will note is that whatever you do in the summer, I don't think is going to be based on what he thinks. Yeah. I think he's being brought in so late that what these top clubs in the Premier League have already decided what they're doing in
the
summer.
Well, I mean, it's a fairly easy, not easy subject, but it's a fairly well-known thing of just Arsenal need a striker.
Well, that's it. So. And he's not going to come in and be like, oh, this is the guy. No, you guys have had your transfer plans solidified for months by now. Every top operating club in the league has had their targets whittled down to 1, 2, 3 for months now, and they're already working on that. They're not going into the summer blind. That's not how the league operates anymore. It's not 20 years ago. So this summer is not a summer to judge him for what he decides to do. It'll be very much the summers preceding that. And seeing what he does therefore rather than what happens actually this summer. I think what you guys do this summer will already be decided on. I think you guys have already solidified your targets, and it will be a case of him using his contacts to maybe maximize the potential of those deals rather than changing it wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be interesting. I'm happy to see you guys finally appoint someone. I think Eddie leaving is a bit of a shame, but
yeah, I mean, I don't think there's much more that really needs to be said other than it's a shame that Eddie left, because it was again another. I mean, I guess again, I don't want to talk about it too much because it is very dull, really, unless you're really interested in the nerdy side of football. But he comes from banking as opposed to being kind of an ex-player or coming from football, which is quite rare in the kind of.
But also, I think it's quite pertinent to know that he actually worked under Diego Simeone, which is one of the most autonomous type of managers you will find in the top five leagues of European football.
Sure.
So he's coming into a situation now where it's almost akin to that, whereas Mikel Arteta has created an environment for himself because of the good work he's done, where he's actually working autonomously and he has the full backing of the above. So he's almost going to have to work in a micro Simeone environment where what Mikel Arteta wants, everyone's going to have to somewhat agree with, because it's good. I think that's a good thing, because he's not coming into an environment where he gets the full reins. He's working with that synergy, because he's not getting the full reins. Because Mikel Arteta, if he doesn't want someone, it's not from the Basque region. He's not going to get it. So
I'll be honest, lot of waffle is what you're spitting out. Right?
Yeah, a lot of waffle. Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what he does, but I think this summer won't define him, but it'll be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's... You can't judge him on this first summer, I think. There's a lot
also,
of...
Also, very important to note, Dan Ashworth got whittled down to the final three-man shortlist.
I saw that. Yep. I did see
but
that.
But he declined because your CEO, Richard Garlick, former
great
FA...
Great name, by the way.
Yeah, spelt G-A-R-Lick. by the way, he was a former FA man himself, and he was very forceful of the idea of Ashworth post-Manchester United sacking. And he got down to the final three-man list, but didn't quite make the cut. So... interesting that that's the level that you guys went to really travel the market and to end up on Berta. I think, yeah, I mean, who am I to say?
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Yeah. And this summer won't be the time to tell, but it will be a future thing to see who he brings in. It'll be interesting to see. Okay, so let's move on to the next bit of the pod, probably the most important bit of the pod. So we're going to go through our team of the season so far, excluding... the typical big six teams. So excluding our Manchester United's, our Manchester City's, our Liverpool's, our Chelsea's, our Spurs, except me, because I don't really count.
So we've got a maybe slightly different definitions of big six here.
Yeah, I'm really not counting Spurs in my big six.
No, neither am I if I had to choose, but I don't know who takes their place.
But anyway, the most important caveat to our teams is that we're only going to have a maximum of two players from each club team that we're picking. So
this is the good stuff. This is why this is the most interesting bit. This is why we're
so
here.
we're gonna roll through it. So Cormac, who are you starting in goalkeeper?
So in goal, I have gone for Henderson at Crystal Palace.
It's a great shout.
I think he's probably been, other than Raya at Arsenal and Sells at Forest, who also took a role, but obviously the two per team rule was made something interesting. Probably the most informed keeper this season. I believe they have a top five defensive record this year. And I just think some of the saves he's made this season have been unbelievable. And he's just, with a really solid Palace defence, I think has looked really good. And I think we're quite spoiled at the moment in the league in terms of there's a lot of very, very competent goalkeepers.
I mean, I'm not going to spend too much time on goalkeepers.
No, I quite enjoy the kind of boring, nerdy shit of keepers. But if we wanted to get into kind of the expected goals,
I've gone for Bart Verbuggen.
Okay.
At Brighton.
Because
I think he's been brought into the league by Brighton through all their external statistics that they had.
External statistics.
Yeah, absolutely. And he was someone that Manchester United were interested in. Ding, ding, ding. And he's been brought into the league, and I think he's had a very solid season. I think he's someone who... For example, Bayern Munich apparently are considering him as their Neuer replacement.
Yep.
£60 million bid. Not sure how accurate that is at all. Probably not accurate at all.
That would be crazy.
That'd be crazy. But also, Chelsea are probably thinking about putting an £80 million bid in for him
just
right
to
now.
Think, they had Sanchez before.
Yeah.
And now so Chelsea obviously
he's obviously come in
Sanchez.
And perform admirably. And I think he's adapted to the league very well. And I think he's a very... He's obviously a keeper who's very capable, which I think he's done well. And I'm just I picked him conscious of who else I was going to pick in my team.
Well, that's it. Because of the two per team rule that we've decided to restrict ourselves to.
Yeah. So, Cormac, tell me, who have you gone for at right back?
At right back, I've gone for Aina at Forest. Ola Aina at Forest. I think, arguably, minus the big six thing, I think he might have been the best right back in the league this season. I don't even have to think. Forest have got the second best defensive record behind Arsenal. Actually, it might be the best defensive record, if I'm not mistaken. And he has been a key part of that. And kind of, he is a unbelievable force going back and going forward. Aina, and more importantly, I just really like him. I think when I've seen him interviewed as well, he's just a really likable dude.
His vibes.
He is just vibes. And he is just... like I said, been a really key part of this Forest team who have been so good this year.
Yep.
And I would really like him to, not even make right back for this minus big six thing, which this season is probably less important than ever. But I think he should be probably team of the season right back anyway.
It's interesting because he's actually had a contract in the summer. So it'll be interesting to see if Forest tie him down.
Yeah. And... who did I see he was linked to them? Probably Chelsea.
I mean, he was actually ex-Chelsea youth player.
See, maybe that's what I'm thinking. You know, I might be Madrid, you know. I think I might have said someone.
There will be, if he's a free transfer, I guarantee every top team on the planet right now is trying to convince him, that he could fill a spot for them.
Yeah.
So
who did he burst? Sorry, Taylor or right back?
So I actually went for Tino Livramento because I think this season he has proved why he's probably going to be England's starting right back at the World Cup next year.
Over Trent?
Probably, yeah. I think in the system that Tuchel's played, I think
call back real quick to our previous episode.
We left Livramento out, didn't we? He was on a list.
Did we not put that? Because we put Ben White in, didn't we?
Yeah, yeah.
God, we suck sometimes.
Yeah, we do so. We do so.
We're fickle folk. We'll do whatever we want.
No, but I just thought Livramento this season has had a fantastic season. He's very nonchalant. He's very...
Has he played many games this year, though? I'm trying to think now.
He had a horrific injury last year, which put him out the whole last year.
Yeah.
And this season, he's been there. Okay. So he's had a fantastic season for Newcastle. I think they've been vindicated by their transfer of Livramento. I think he will... The reason why I went for him, I did consider Ole Aina from Nottingham Forest, but the reason I prefer Livramento is because he's younger and because he will have so many more years in the league to fulfill his true potential. I think he's had a fantastic year and I think he'll consider to reach his full potential. So I'm now going to move on to my own centre-back.
Well, but both of them down. But both centre-backs down at once.
Okay, so I went for Maria from Nottingham Forest. Yep. And I went for, just to double check, I went for Zabani from Bournemouth, Ukrainian centre-back. So I'm going to start off with Maria. Maria has, as you said, with Nottingham Forest, they are second to Arsenal and... else?
I think that's it.
Their defensive record this season has been fantastic. I think that is due to the fact that him and Milenkovic have been simply impeccable. But the reason I picked him over Milenkovic is because of his potential. He is a 24-year-old centre-back, Brazilian centre-back. They plucked him from Brazil and for a very small fee. And now that man must be worth 50, 60 million pounds. He is someone he is someone who I see will be making, sadly, he has Chelsea written all over him.
Ugh, if anyone got Chelsea all over them, I just
exactly. Yeah. But I'd be surprised if I wake up tomorrow morning and see Chelsea announce £60 million signing of Maria. Not surprised at all, but he is someone who is able to take the ball with courage and step out of the fence with pure gusto and just stomp. And he has just got a tackle in him. He's got that defensive instinct, he's got aggression, he's got everything I love in a centre back. And I think him being partnered with Milenkovic has been genius, by the way. And I think Milenkovic is someone who could totally be counted in on the basis that he cost pennies from Fiorentina, I want to say. And
it is Fiorentina, isn't it?
Yep.
Yeah.
And but he's someone who will grow with the experience of having partnered with someone who's so experienced, and he will continue to get better. He will be a Premier League centre-back for as long as he wants to be. If he wanted to move to Real Madrid or Barcelona, he could.
Yeah, because he's quite undersized. How tall is he? He's not a tall guy, is he?
I want to say he's at least 6'2". Do you want to fact check?
Oh, okay. Okay.
I mean, he's a big boy. He's also got that stocky build, but he's also got that capacity to have the ball under his foot and be.
I thought he was like 6'6", 6'1".
He could be.
I just can't spell here. Sorry, guys. Bear with me.
And if I quickly move on to Zabani from Bournemouth.
Yeah,
I think,
go on, keep talking.
You know, Bournemouth bought him from Shakhtar Donetsk. And he's 22 years old. And again, he's someone who is completely adapted to the league. Someone who's just found his foot immediately in our system.
Oh, hang on, I'm on the wrong guy here. Keep talking.
Okay. He is someone who's been able to adapt to the league instantaneously, has had a fantastic season, suits Iraola's system completely. He is, you know, a unique footballer. We are seeing a dearth of centre backs right now who can play in the Premier League, also have that capacity to have the ball, but also that pure instinct. I think we're seeing a lack of pure instinct for defence, and he's brought that. I think he's had a fantastic season, considering it's his first season in the Prem.
Yeah, it's not bad going, is it?
He's had a blast.
I mean, he's come at the right time, hasn't he?
He's had a blast. And I think he's going to be, obviously, he's partnered by Dean Huijsen, who ultimately is going to be on the move. How old is Maria?
So he's 6 foot tall and he is 22 years old. Apologies. God damn, he's 22.
Yeah.
Tell you, man, we're past it, you know.
Yeah, I know, man. I know. So I think Zubani is going to be, he's going to be someone who's going to stay at Bournemouth.
Yep.
Because Dean Huijsen's probably going to move on.
Yep.
And he has all the hallmarks of a fantastic Premier League. I can't believe neither of us put Dean Huijsen in, by the way.
I can.
I can't believe I went for him over Zubani. Now I'm saying out loud.
I know.
But also, I respect what Zubani's done. I think he will probably be a fantastic centre-back for years to come. Yeah, so that's why I'm for him. So what's your centre-back?
So I've gone for Mikulinovic. So solid. Similar-ish. In the sense I've got to pick a Forest one. And Mark Gahey as well.
Which, I had Mark Gahey originally.
I mean, that's probably a bit more of a boring pick. Starting with Mikulinovic, I think he's the better of the two.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to get anyone now and slot him into my team, I would say Mikulinovic. Tall bastard, big boy. He's just
Vintage vibes.
He is. Oh god, get Vintage out. Get that overrated bastard out of this podcast. That's a story for another day.
Come on, man.
That's a story for another day. But no, just really enjoy him every time I see him. He had a great game actually yesterday against Brighton as well. He is just a big bastard at the back, and I think he is a born Premier League defender.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, like we've always said.
He's had a great season.
He's had such a good season with the rest of Forest. Defensively, they've been so good, and he has just been so consistent and played. I think he's played maybe all of their games this season in the Premier League. I'm not entirely sure that's exactly bang on, but I think it is something like that. And then Mark Gahey, I think he's probably a little bit more boring. I think this was a combination. The list I picked here is of kind of the best
combination.
it's a combination of the best 11 and also my bias 11 as well. I think every time I watch him play,
I'm gonna hear Eddie and Nketiah up top.
Don't tempt me. I think the best compliment you can almost say about a defensive player at times is you don't realize they're there.
Yeah,
and I think he's got, I'm not going to say he's like Saliba, but he's just got a bit of an aura and athleticism about him, which I love in a centre-back.
You know what? You've just said that to me and it's made me realise I've not got a single Villa player in that list, because someone said that to me about Ezri Konsa in the comments, that you don't realise he's there.
Like, oh, I have got a Villa player, thank God.
And firstly, I haven't got Ezri Konsa.
Yeah, I haven't got Ezri Konsa. No, neither of us do. Yeah, God. But, yeah, if any Villa fans are watching from that Konsa video, then we didn't include him in the squad, the England squad.
He's not on my team.
For those who don't know, he's not here anyway anymore. But just really quick, if you didn't see our England squad, we didn't include Konsa, which maybe might be incorrect, but on TikTok, we got absolutely grilled for it. And I can kind of understand it. And also, get fucked, it's football, get over it, you'll be all right.
You'll be okay.
But yeah, I just think Mark Gahey is
100% that guy. I agree with your gay chat. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So who have you gone for left back?
That's a great question. I think this was fairly easy because I think the left back market is quite weak, really, in the Premier League and kind of in world football at the moment. The left backs aren't as strong as they've been previously.
Well, not everyone has a Patrick Dorgu, so I understand.
God, you're going to make me want to snap my own neck. But I've just gone through Robinson at Fulham.
I agree. That's who I had in mind.
I thought that would be fairly comfortable.
He's had an all-time season.
He was really good last year. He's been very good this year. He's got 10 assists this season, which is joint with Saka, even though Saka's missed half the season.
Would you agree to my... Obviously, he's in both our lists. But would you agree to my rationale there? Because he... Although I think he is English... Because he represents the USA,
yep.
I almost don't care.
I will always, and I'm proud of this, have an agenda against American football players. And it doesn't matter. I know they care about this.
I especially have less respect for the English players that choose to represent America. Because after them,
is it his mum who's American? Is that what it is?
It's something. But all that I know that is he has to go to the
He would start US. For England, by the way, right
no,
now.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he would be... He'd be playing for England right now.
Yeah.
But he has to go to the US soccer camps and call it soccer.
Ugh.
So for me, that immediately makes...
So we immediately take him out of the squad.
No, but also that makes me have so much more respect for what he's done because he's been an American national.
Is that to deal with Americans?
Yeah. Who? Yeah. And he's had that good of a season that if it was kind of mid, I wouldn't even consider it. But the fact that he's had such...
We have such a bias against Yanks. Such a good, good season.
Such a good season that even despite the fact, yes, I call it soccer,
yeah,
I will put him in my left back
position. I think this list here has never been easier in kind of the non-big six.
Yeah.
Because the big six, quote unquote, have arguably never been weaker in the sense of obviously you got Liverpool who are first, Arsenal who are second, but then Chelsea are pretty fine. Spurs are dog shit. United are dog shit. City are dog shit in terms of their usual standards.
Yes.
So having all these other teams, you know, your Forests, your Bournemouths, your Brightons, your Fulhams, right there, just shows the dearth in quality.
Oh, man. The Premier League is insane at the minute.
Just not to get too erect and excited about football insane. Once again.
Yeah. The Premier League has never been better.
Yeah.
It's dreadful for me in our perspective. Credit to Arsenal to be so good in a point in time where the Premier League is so good, but
well, been so good, and also the top four have been so meh.
Yeah,
it's a weird conversation for another day. But Taylor, tell me about your first midfielder. Let's say your defensive midfielder, shall we?
So my CDM, I've gone for Bruno Guimarães.
Yep, I think we have in fact agreed on that one. Yeah,
have you?
Yeah,
okay.
You go.
No, so maybe I wouldn't have considered him, but having off the back of the Carabao Cup final, saw him give that, like he was crying, and he was just.
I actually really like that. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in awe of the fact that he'd just done something so special for somewhere which had adopted him as his hometown, and. He has been a stalwart for that team for years now. They bought him from Lyon for approximately 30 million a few years ago. And he's just someone who's been fantastic in the league now, consistently for years. And even when Newcastle got that top four finish a couple of years ago, I don't think he really got the credit he probably deserved. I think this season he's really shown himself to be a leader on the pitch. Someone who, he's not going to get the goals and assists, but he's going to be someone who will perform. He will bring that absolute aggression and bring that to the, bring that dog, you know?
I think he's probably the best player outside of this big six.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's an entirely crazy thing to say.
No, I don't think that's crazy, but the only thing that goes against him is his age.
How old is he?
I think he's going to be 27, 28. Let's fact check. Oh, well,
that's not too bad.
No, but in terms of like, we spoke about this the other day, is big contracts. It's what it's all about. It's what the game's about. And he's at the age now where he probably looks at his career and is he going to, how old is he?
27. He's going to be 28 in November.
Yeah. And when is
what does that mean? What does that mean about us?
Huh?
What does that mean for us?
Yeah,
we've got 3 years on him.
The game's gone for us. But
Yeah.
So he's someone who has just performed so admirably for his team, who have improved so crazily for years now.
Yeah. Now, I think, he's so important for the Newcastle team, isn't he?
It's crazy.
Yeah, being their captain, him and Joe Linton, who, I don't think he's necessarily near this list, but is just such a fucking beast. Is the only technical term I can really drop on that.
There's not many players in the world who can get turned from a striker to a pure eight.
Just that's what I mean. Box to box eight is a pain in the ass.
You know what? I rarely swear on his pod, but a fucking beast is probably the way to describe him because if you're gonna get turned from a pure striker to an eight, but what I'm gonna say is that Bruno Guimarães has absolutely supplemented that perfectly. And he's enabled that midfield, no matter what's been around him. Bro, they've had Sean Longstaff in there. And he's been in and around all of that nonsense. So he's been fantastic. Newcastle, after last season, could have been expected to tail off. They haven't. They've improved. They had a fantastic period in between Christmas and post where they pushed up the league. And now they're probably
going looks to like they're going to get Champions League.
Yeah, they look like they're going to get Champions League, which if they do again, God, that's fantastic for them. So, you know, credit to them. And I think a big point of that is Guimaraes. I think he's been.
I agree. So, see that, Newcastle fans, we don't hate you.
We don't hate you.
And we are sometimes nice about it, right?
But Isak is still leaving.
He is still. Right, let's go for your other centre mid then. What have you got?
Okay. My other centre mid is Carlos Baleva from Brighton.
See, I was really torn between him and I put Cliver down.
Did you?
At Bournemouth because I had
a centre mid.
I have. Well, see, a bit of a difficult here. Ooh. Because I haven't included any other Bournemouth players. So I was like, I need a Bournemouth player in here.
Yeah.
And I've just decided to throw Cliver in centre midfield.
That's kind of what I did with Zabani.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think Baleva is that guy.
He's
just a beast. I can't believe I mean, I don't know. I think I forgot about him when I was making this list.
Baleva is what Manchester United need to be in.
I'm just mentioning
in that Baleva is the epiphany of what Manchester United should be.
Epitome.
Forgot my dictionary.
No, that's not bad for me.
He is the epitome of what Manchester United should be in that he is massive, athletic, technically capable and young.
God, he's a bastard, isn't he? Imagine playing against him.
Oh, gosh, man. Imagine. That'd be
a fucking nightmare.
You know, imagine you're just some young academy lad and you come up against this 6 foot, like, he must be 6'2". Fact check me. He's a massive geezer who's technically capable and has the strength of 7 horses and is just going to blast through you with the technical capacity to then put the pass through. He has had a fantastic season for Brighton.
He's 5'10".
No, he's not.
He's 5'10".
Is he 5'10"? Okay, yeah. I'll track back.
He's only 21, though.
He's 21. He is...
still growing. It's not exactly what I was indicating, but...
If bro drinks his cow milk, he'll be up there.
Yeah.
But what I will say is that Baleba has the capacity. He strikes me as the next £85-100 million player from centre mid.
He's got that, hasn't he?
Chelsea probably will buy him.
They probably will buy him.
Sadly, I don't think they will because they probably have maxed out their credit card at Brighton now. But someone will buy Carlos Baleba for a lot of money. And whoever does will provide a base for their midfield for the next 7 years.
I'd love him at Arsenal.
Oh, he would be fantastic.
Him and Rice next to each other.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, he's gonna, like you say, he's going to cost at 80 odd.
What a player.
Yeah, I put Cliver in there just for his numbers. And like I said, I needed a Bournemouth player in there.
What a season Cliver's had, by the way.
He's been so good. Goals, assists.
I hate players. Who have a
full stop?
Yeah, who have a nepo father? Like they, you know, is it for the longest time when Cliver was at Roma, and he very much struck me as a nepo baby. He's like he was there for the vibes. His name, but he's come to Bournemouth, and for some reason this season, firstly he loves a penalty, and secondly he's scored a lot of goals. He scored today, actually against Manchester City. Yeah,
he's still lost, but
they lost, but he scored. And his stats this season have been fantastic. So I actually think that's
I needed a Bournemouth player in there.
No, I think that's a great shout.
And I was quite annoyed at myself. I couldn't really squeeze any others in. But I just really like Cliver. I mean, he's 25.
Well, he's 25. And also, it's someone, ding, 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 Manchester United apparently interested in Justin Cliver. I'm sick to death of the modern media because they know that Manchester United's transfer strategy has changed.
Yeah.
So as a result, we are literally linked with anyone who has scored more than 5 goals in the league.
It's just any midfielder.
Anyone. And also we're linked with everyone who's from South America ever. Anyone from anywhere ever who might be somewhat good. We're just linked with anyone ever. But ultimately, Chelsea are going to buy them, so I don't really care. But
12 goals, 6 assists, Cliver's got this season. That's just in the Prem, by the way.
Good season.
Very good.
So my other midfielder.
Yeah, so this is your attacking midfielder.
Yes, my attacking midfielder, which is where the contentious big six comes in, because I went for a Spurs player. I went for Dejan Kulusevski.
Right, okay. Let's just build up on this now. Big six does include Spurs.
Really?
Well, because who else gets in that big six? Because if Spurs aren't in it, do I dare say... Recent years. United aren't in it.
Of course, we're in it. We have won a Europa League in 2016. We have won a Carabao Cup 2 years ago. We won a FA Cup last year. We are in it. Spurs have not won a trophy since 2006.
No, I agree, but I just wanted to see what you had to say about that.
No, lots of clubs have won trophies since Spurs last won a trophy. Spurs almost came close, but would you not put Leicester in the big six on that premise?
No.
No, exactly. So why would you put Spurs in it?
No. Well, who makes the big six if not Spurs then?
I'm going to say Manchester City, Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, and Everton.
Yeah, wait, have you put City in there? Hang on.
I did. I said Manchester United, Manchester City.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah. Chelsea, yeah. Arsenal, Liverpool.
Forest, fuck it.
No, I'm going to go for Everton.
We can't be allowing Everton fans to have that.
No.
Liverpool fans wouldn't stand for that.
No, that's so true.
Spurs, unfortunately, are in the big six.
So can I have Kulusevski? I'll give you Kulusevski.
I'll give you Kulusevski. Okay. I'm not happy about it.
Okay,
and fine. I think this is wrong anyway. No,
so I want to talk about Kulusevski.
All right, go on.
Just a couple of minutes.
Spit what you got to say. Just a couple of minutes. We've already run over a little bit, by the way, so we're gonna have to fire through this.
Okay, so Kulusevski, awesome. This is Zidane vibes. He's baller, man. He's baller. He's young. He doesn't deserve to be in the Spurs team. He's overworked. Dear God, he is vibes. He can dribble. He's powerhouse. He's capable. He's got the eye for goal. He's got the eye for the assist. He's got the finesse on the ball. I like that guy. He deserves to be somewhere else other than the Spurs.
Okay.
You know what I originally had?
Go on.
Bergvall.
Okay. Yeah, I would have rather that because really? It makes more sense.
Really?
Yeah, I like Kulusevski, and I think he is too good for Spurs. I think everyone's too good for Spurs. But I am not convinced. I can't articulate my words right now, which is great for someone who does a podcast. But what I've gone for in my camp, I've gone for Morgan Rogers, which I think is so much more of a reasonable pick. I think he has been the standout star in that attacking midfield position this season. He's got 10 goals, 5 assists in the league. He's got this England call-up. He's championed this Aston Villa team to pushing for this. I mean, they've had a bit of a, obviously, still in the Champions League at time of recording. They're pushing again for a Champions League position. They are now in the FA Cup semi-final. I think he is a very, very key part of that. And on top of all of that, I just really like him. I think he's got that sauce and he's got that ability in that 10 position to just create, which, again, in the England position right now, we're really lucky for. And we're really, it's so many different options.
So if I was to switch up my pick immediately on the spot and say, Morgan Gisboy, that's what I got there in my 10. So Gunter Head.
Well, how many Forest players you picked? Is that your second?
No, if I was just to hypothesise.
Oh, I'd rather Gibbs White than Kulusevski this season, absolutely.
No, I've only got one Forest player in my team, I believe.
Oh, then chuck Gibbs White in there, absolutely.
Yeah, why have I not chucked him in? Let's have a look.
Because I would like Gibbs White in, but I've already picked two Forest players.
Yeah, so if you guns ahead, if you had to pick Gibbs White or Rogers, who are you picking?
Okay, wait, what's the question? Just in my squad or in this team?
Or team of season?
I think I probably would pick Gibbs White. If it wasn't for the two per team, I think I probably would pick him.
Really?
Yeah. And again, another player. That being said, we picked Morgan Rogers and not Gibbs White.
I know. That's why I ask. Yeah.
Oh, God. We're so fickle. it's tricky.
Well, I still like Dejan Kulusevski. I think he's waited at Spurs. I think he should leave.
Yeah, I mean, we could all agree on that.
I think he should leave. Okay, so Cormac, who have you gone on right wing?
Right wing, I've gone for, drum roll, please, Mbeumo.
Completely agreed.
Oh, look. Good ass. Nothing like a podcast that just constantly agrees with each other.
15 goals, 5 assists this season.
Got that note down as well.
Yep.
I think Tony leaving, obviously. So tall. Oh, yeah. Big deal. But him and Wisser, who doesn't make the squad, have just really hasn't mattered. He's been that good. He's got Liverpool written all over him.
It's annoying.
Which sucks.
It's annoying.
But I think the fact that the man is that bold at 25, he can only be serious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he is just strong. He's fast. He's a bastard. He's so technically gifted.
Bro is really like if Adama Traore was good.
If Adama Traore could play a final ball.
Yeah, literally.
Which is a terrifying thought, actually. It's a
terrifying thought.
Because if Traore could do that, he'd be the best player in the world.
My outrageous opinion is that if Adama Traore could realize where the goal is, he'd be the best player ever of all time. But he can't. And Brian Mbeumo,
your best player, your favorite, your best mate, by the way.
Oh, my best mate.
Insert picture here.
Yeah, we have a selfie because he speaks Spanish, I speak Spanish, my girlfriend speaks Spanish, and we were able to get a photo outside of the hospital somewhere in central London.
Chelsea Hospital.
Yep, post-injury for him.
Huge.
I hope he's okay.
This was 6-7 months ago. He's fine now.
He's all right. But if Adama Traore is good, it's what Brian Mbeumo actually is, and he's been fantastic. He's going to make a move. And
I hope he does. I hope he stays at Brentford.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, I hope he does. I mean, I like Brentford. I've got a soft spot for all these guys. I like everyone, man.
I'm so boring. London.
I know, I'm so boring. I like all these London teams that I probably shouldn't.
Yeah, man. No, man, I become to United. He can rip it up. He's going to go to Liverpool. 100% agree.
He's going to go to Liverpool.
He has Liverpool written all over him.
I know.
Either him or Witter has Liverpool written all over them.
I mean, they're both good. I think Aubameyang's probably the better of the two, isn't he?
100%, yeah.
Yeah, and he can finish. He can, like you say, he's got that fine. Like, he's got that killer instinct,
yeah.
Yeah, but he's both our right wingers, is he?
Yeah.
All right, who have you got on the left then, Taylor? Go on.
I went for on the left wing Eze.
Interesting. Considering, again, we both left him out of our England squad.
Yeah, we're incredibly fickle.
We are very fickle. But okay, go on. Give me your explanation here.
I think he's baller. I think he's top notch. I think he's cool.
Team of the season.
Yeah.
Probably. I think he's had a down year, personally.
I think he's had a down year also, but also, he's a baller, isn't he? I just think I'm biased because that goal he scored yesterday. And
oh,
just,
no, like, it's recency bias, isn't it?
I'm all over it. I just think, yeah.
I've gone for what I think is the right answer here. My left wing, it's Cunha.
He doesn't play left wing,
though. I'm being a little bit technical here.
Yeah, well, that's wrong then.
I'm being a little bit fun, let's say, with my choice. I think Cunha is the only reason Wolves may be staying up this season.
Mm-hmm.
I think they did sign him for £44 million, but he is still that good. I think it's probably worth it, and they're going to sell him for more. He's got a bit of an attitude. He's got a bit of a temper.
I like that dog.
He has got that dog, which makes him who he is as well. And I think he's just a combination of that and how shit the rest of the Wolves team is. But without him, could he score some goals this season?
You say that, but I think it was a third of the starting Brazilian national squad against Argentina, where they lost 4-1, was Wolves players.
That's
which
so
is
bizarre.
Probably why they lost 4-1.
That fucking Portuguese language.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy.
I know, but I think he is in the lower, the bottom 10 teams this season. I think he's the best player out of all of them. I don't think that's a crazy take, actually.
I think it's crazy. I think it's crazy to put him at left wing.
It's ambitious, I think is probably a better word to put it. Yep. Dare I reach for the stars? Dare you let a friend reach for the stars?
I will just factually correct him and bring him back down to earth, and it's a non-vote.
All right, go on then. Who have you got down the middle? Who's your nine?
My tucked-in shirt, bald geezer, post-ear surgery, stash, Rocky Balboa, Instagram master, Jean-Philippe Medeta.
Oh my God, who saw that one coming?
Guy is the vibes. Manchester United are going to sign him. He's going to be... generational. He is our Giroud in waiting.
Oh god, that's not a compliment. The guy
is aura dripping. He is, I don't know, I don't even know if he's scored any goals this season. He's just cool.
I think he's on 15 goals.
I actually have the stat here.
Go on.
12 goals, 2 assists, but vibes is what I noted from Mateta. So
I do really like him. I think he has been great this year and the end of last year as well.
And so I've gone for a good mix of just pure youth in the back of the midfield so they can't cope and then absolute experience at the top.
I mean, absolute experience. You say that. He's only 27. So he's 6'4" as well. Big boy, isn't he?
Big boy. He's a big boy.
Yeah, that's good. I have gone for, I think, probably the safest and most boring pick I could have picked. I've just gone Isak down the middle.
I don't count it because he moved to Liverpool, so it doesn't count.
God, just the fact that he's leaving Newcastle anyway,
yeah,
isn't he?
He's almost definitely leaving Newcastle.
Get fucked, kids.
And you guys have literally maybe 10 more games with him.
Oh, I just hope he does. I would love him at Arsenal. And he is probably the next best thing. Oh, I think my microphone's gone.
You locked in.
Yeah, he locked in. We're going to finish off on one mic here. Sorry, bear with us, guys. I think Isak is the best thing since...
Sliced bread.
Basically, he's just that sauce. He's got so much ability. His finishing is probably the best in the league other than Haaland. His goals are all quality. He's rapid. He can play on the left. He can play down the middle. I don't need to bore you, but I think Isak is the best player other... I already said that about Guimaraes. Other than Guimaraes outside of the top six, I think he is that good, which is, again, probably quite a safe, boring opinion to give you.
No, I agree. I think Isak's top notch. He is someone who warrants that. He's like Declan Rice of West Ham. He warrants that £100 million fee. And whoever pays that, because he will leave, Newcastle fans, sorry, he will go. And when they do pay that, he will go somewhere and he'll perform. So credit to him. And I think that's a great place to finish off our list. Right. So as you're going to see now, probably we're going to have some kind of image for you to see.
I think, Taylor, rattle it off real quick. Go on, rattle off your squad.
Okay, so just to finish off my squad, I have in goal Bart Verbruggen, right back Livramento, centre backs I have Mario and Zubani, I have left back Robinson from Fulham, I have a CDM Guimaraes, I have centre mid Baleba, I have a Cam, I have Kulusevski, I have a right wing Mbeumo, left wing Eze, and up front I have big boy Mateta. Cormac, who you got?
In goal, I've got Henderson, right back I've got Oleana, I've got centre back, I've got Mikalenkovic and Gehi, left back Robinson, CDM, I've got Guimaraes, centre mid, I've got Kluivert, Cam, I've got Morgan Rogers, left wing, got Cunha, right wing, I've got Mbeumo, and striker, I have Isak.
That is beautiful stuff. So, guys, we'd love to hear what you have to say about our squads.
And
I'm
how
sure,
correct it is. Yeah.
And how correct and how perfect it is. I'm sure you guys are going to have lots of opinions, so please feel free to drop name and describe in the comments what you think we could have done better, what we missed out on, what you agree with. Please let us know. We have all our channels available. We have YouTube, we have TikTok, we have Apple Podcasts, we have Spotify. Anywhere you want to listen to anything, we are available on it. And just please drop a like, drop a follow. It all helps. So thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed the episode and we'll catch you on the next one. Thank you very much for listening to episode 10.
Love you.